It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are joined by the feisty Tribune columnist, Eric Zorn. What did you call them? The Feistinator? The Feistmaster General?
I've called him so many things, usually when he's not around to defend himself, but he's here now, so I'll be polite.
So you better be nice. Here I am.
I will definitely be nice. As I'm sure you're aware, because you're working at a newspaper, there's a lot of details coming across about what happened over the weekend. Some bombings, some stabbings. What's going on upstairs in the newsroom? Are you just coming from there?
I'm just coming from the newsroom. Yeah, I mean, obviously, everyone's looking at what's going on in New York. I mean, they have caught what appears to be the guy who planted the bombs in New Jersey and Manhattan.
Yeah,
right now,
Rahimi.
So it's unclear, you know, whether there's how big this conspiracy might be to do this or what it all means. I guess there's some fairly obvious connections possibly to Islamic terrorism, but I think, I don't know if anyone has definitively made that link, but it certainly looks that way right now.
So that has to be the next step in the process. Now that he's been apprehended, the next step in the process has got to be exactly what you just said, is find out if he's tied to somebody, who they are, and what their motives are.
Right, and if they're planning more things coming up. I mean, and of course, the question that we have to wrestle with that's even broader than this is, what do we do about lone wolf? If this is, in fact, somewhat of a lone wolf person, what do we do about someone who, as you know, with a flip phone and some stuff bought at a hardware store.
Yeah.
I mean, these are not sophisticated bombs, but they're potentially very destructive.
And how do you possibly be on the lookout for someone like that? Because it just happens randomly and somewhere you're not expecting. It seems impossible to keep track of
now,
this.
I'm not sure exactly how they zeroed in on him so quickly. Right, because they had
surveillance video of him, and it was reported earlier that he was lying down in a hallway in New York.
He was asleep in a hallway, and somebody called that in saying there's somebody suspicious. Couldn't even make out his face. Just, I don't know who this guy is, but somebody's trying to sleep in my hallway.
I mean, the San Bernardino case was certainly, in many ways, obviously much more devastating in terms of loss of life. I mean, nobody was killed in these bombs, but
which is amazing, thankful yet amazing.
Yes. But it's odd. I mean, he planted the bombs were not planted in places. They weren't planted in Times Square.
Yeah,
right. They weren't planted in places where it looked like they were going to do a lot of damage. I guess the one at the military 5K, there was a timing issue that had that gone off when the race was supposed to start, or that would have been much worse. But the question with San Bernardino and some of these other cases where you have someone who is just, you know, a lone person, the Orlando nightclub shooting.
Yeah.
I don't know how you identify someone like that. And I mean, the kind of vigilance that's required, the kind of monitoring of internet traffic and so on. This is the thing that's frightening about this, and it's always been frightening. We've known this for 15 years since 9/11, and actually the experts knew it before that. There are soft targets everywhere. There are dumpsters everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can put your bombs in. I guess the one in New Jersey, someone saw a knapsack in a trash can, but what if he just used a Macy's bag or something and thrown it in there? No one would have thought twice about that. So you know, we're around all these soft targets, and you know, this is why, you know, immediately the talk turns to politics, which is what would a President Clinton do to try to stop this? And is there anything that remotely fits into our constitutional structure and our sense of liberty that would comport with that? I mean, you can start kicking people out of the country and then pretty soon you're going to get right into their civil liberties, right? You're going to have to start, you know, monitoring what people say on the internet
And as Bill mentioned earlier, and it's a great question, this is something they may use for the debates on Monday to talk about what we're going to do.
Trump said, I don't know if he said anything this morning, but one of his first response was, you know, we got to get tough. We got to get really tough, folks. Now, I don't know exactly what that means.
We all say that. I mean, but what exactly does that entail?
Right. And it's not to minimize. I mean, and Hillary Clinton's, it was a very interesting contrast in responses, right? Trump is like, we got to get tough. We got to get tough. This is terrible. We got to get tough. And Hillary Clinton was, well, we need to find out more about what happened. And we need to, you know, the kind of cautious, you know, I mean, frankly, the kind of thing I think you kind of want in the person who's got their finger on the nuclear button. you've got someone who says, like, well, we need to find out everything that's going on here before we leap to conclusions. I mean, people remember when Oklahoma City happened. Everyone thought, well, the Muslims have got us. They've blown up a building right in Oklahoma City. And then, it turns out a couple of days later, well, no, it was a bunch
American-born
terrorists. It does pay to be cautious. It does pay to say, well, let's think about what the response could be. You can't just go and we're going to take everybody with an Arabic name and throw them out of the country. Is that what does getting tough mean?
And that's what she's saying behind the scenes. We don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? She's the mouthpiece saying, we're going to take our time. We're going to investigate this. We're going to make sure we can come up with all the details. There are other people behind the scenes, hopefully, getting tough and doing that. But with Donald Trump just saying, we got to get tough, I know that. I agree with him on that. But how? What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. And when you hear this, we hear about this happening, when we first heard about these explosions happening over the weekend, you know, your first thought is, you think about the potential victims. In this case, thankfully, there were no
29 injured.
There were no fatalities. But you think about that, but you also think, where's next? What's next?
Yep.
What does this bode? What does this mean? And we've seen, it seems like an increase in the number of these kind of things. I'm not sure statistically. I could be off base about this. But, there was a slashing in the mall in Minnesota over the weekend also. And there's this kind of, it's kind of bubbling along, and it's happening, and we are aware of how many ways in which we're vulnerable to this kind of thing.
So is it happening more often, or is it just being reported more often and in more detail?
No, I think it is happening more often. And, again, I wish I had a chart or something that would talk about this, but it's kind of like these mass shootings. And people are saying, well, are mass shootings really happening more often? Well, yeah, they are. School shootings, mass shootings, they are happening more often. Now, this is unrelated. Well, I guess not totally unrelated, but not directly tied to terrorist bombings.
Right.
But we are seeing these things happening, I think, more often. It's not like they're happening every day. We're not in a situation, like in the Middle East, where you can't go to an open air market without feeling like, well,
right,
something's going to explode and kill a bunch of people.
Not every day, certainly, but I don't know if a month has gone by in the last several years where there isn't an incident of some kind like this. Is there?
I wish we had the timeline here. If a newsman like Steve Bertrand were here, he could tell us, but
he wouldn't do it.
But he wouldn't be here.
All right. So if our two greatest threats are hate groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda, or pick your favorite hate group and put their name in there, and then the other one is just your average disenfranchised person who doesn't feel that the world is giving them his due or her due, that's the more unpredictable, isn't it?
Well, this is the lone wolf problem. It's not, no matter what inspires someone. You've got someone who is, we don't know right now what this guy in New York, what his motivation was.
Right.
Another one that's very frightening was, of course, the Boston Marathon bombers. I mean, these two kids.
I know.
Basically, it was one kid and his dumbass brother.
These are
naives. And they, the one kid was inspired by things that he'd seen online. He had been radicalized by what he'd seen online, but he wasn't like taking any orders from anybody, just like the guy in Orlando wasn't taking orders from anybody. These are freelancers.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to stop.
That's what I mean.
The 9/11 attacks were coordinated. And, that was a real plan that was set into motion. The stuff that had the Boston bombings, Orlando, I'm assuming this stuff that's gone on this weekend, these aren't done by masterminds elsewhere. These are done by people who are homegrown, inspired by what they've seen online. And so how do you stop? How do you get inside people's heads? There may not be any. If you go back, you may look and break this guy's computer down. There may not be any single message he sent to anyone indicating that he was going to do this.
But you can't do any of that until after it's happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even if you could ahead of time, I guess if you'd had an agent following him around, going, "Hey, he's buying a pressure cooker. Hey, he's getting these flip phones. Hey, you might have been able to put it together." But we don't have nearly the resources to do that. So
several years ago at a bookstore, I can't remember which bookstore it was. It's one of the bookstores that no longer exists.
There's a lot of them.
I went up to buy a book, and they called something up on the computer, and they said, "Hey, we have a new book in that is similar to the one that you're buying." And I said to my wife on the way home, "I bet you any money at some point the government goes to these bookstores and says, hey, we've got a couple of red flags that we need you to put in place. If somebody's getting books on this topic or this topic or this topic, let us know, because that would really help us out. And about 3 or 4 months later, they caught somebody using that exact same technique. Somebody was finding books about building bombs, and they said, hey, we had a file on this guy, and we went to a local bookstore, and they said, yeah, in the last 6 months, he's bought 3 books on this kind of thing. So they shared the information.
Except the problem with that, of course, is that you don't have to buy books anymore.
No, you go online and go clear your history.
So the question then becomes, do you want the government to be monitoring internet search traffic? I mean, by IP address instead of by name, but just like, what are people searching for? And if you see someone searching for, you know, how to make a bomb, how to make a pressure cooker bomb, then you can you flag it? Is that something that the public wants? It might be. It might well be.
But if you're not doing anything wrong, as we mentioned with cameras, I don't care what they do. Somebody's following my pages that I'm linked to, because when I'm looking for something, you know, you get all those ads saying, hey, you're looking for a roof finial?
Yes,
here's one.
Yeah, I have my fur hat store. I wanted to buy a fur hat a few years ago.
A couple of years ago, point blank, they had the technology now with phone calls that if certain buzzwords were being used with any regularity, they would keep a special eye on those phone calls?
Who's listening?
They admitted to that.
I can't believe they would be listening for words. But I mean, this is what we don't know, I think, about the extent of our surveillance state. And the question is, if it were all to be known, would people react mostly the way Winnie's reacting? Like, okay, so you look at my search history. So I, you know,
right.
go at, be
I
my
have
guest.
Nothing to hide.
Yeah, I mean, most people have some things to hide, but not international
illegal
terrorism.
Things.
Yeah.
Well, not many.
Breaking all of God's laws, but
that's fine. All right, we'll take a quick break. Eric Zorn is here. Sure, he's feisty. That's why we got him. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Eric Zorn is here from the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the events over the weekend, mostly on the East Coast, a little bit about Minnesota as well, but a man has been apprehended in those bombings. We have a guy on the line who may be able to help us with some of the questions. Jeff, you run a Homeland Security consultant company, is that correct?
Yeah, hi, good morning, how are you?
Excellent. Can you answer a question or two for us? Number one, I said earlier, I believe the technology was in place where the government could flag certain buzzwords either by a phone call or by an email. Is that true or is that not true?
Well, it's true, and it's been true for years. The problem, of course, is with all law enforcement, local, county, state, federal, a lot of those resources aren't able to be used on an around-the-clock basis to the extent that some of us in the private sector in this industry would like to see used. There just isn't enough time, isn't enough people to watch everybody at all times. You know, one of the mottos of Homeland Security, the governmental agency, is if you see something, say something. And that still to this day is the best way for law enforcement to find instances where something might be going on. And then once they find out something might be going on, it gives them a chance to follow up on it. These incidents all week long, other than the Minnesota stabbing, were very amateurish. They were put in places where lots of people could not have been injured other than the 5K race in New Jersey. But even then, the timer was so bad that it went off when nobody was there.
And I also read that it was underneath a garbage can. Had it not been there, it would have perhaps done more damage.
Absolutely. All of the instances, including the one in Chelsea in New York City and Manhattan and the ones in New Jersey, were not done by professionals with experience who had researched how to do these things.
But isn't that just luck? I mean, it's like that's kind of lucky, isn't it? Because there are smarter people out there who are going to learn from these, you know, mistakes. Isn't that fairly sobering?
Absolutely. I said on my LinkedIn page just a couple of days ago, I'm 60 years old and I've been doing this long before Homeland Security was around. I don't understand, and I probably never will understand, why the general public doesn't get the concept yet that this is going to continue. There is no way for law enforcement to stop this ahead of time unless the general public opens up and, you know, there are hotlines all over the place. FBI, DEA, ATF, every local governmental law enforcement agency, your county sheriff, your local police department, they all have ways of taking very small bits of information. I was involved in a case where an American, you know, doesn't have to, you know, you guys talking earlier about American domestic terrorism or international terrorism, it's still terrorism, was at a Home Depot in a south suburb of Chicago, bought an extraordinary amount of nuts and bolts and screws, and it woke up somebody at Home Depot. They called their local police department. Long story short, he was trying to make a homemade device, much like the Boston Marathon devices, in which there would be an explosion, but the thing that caused the injuries and the deaths
were the shrapnel in there.
Nuts,
yeah.
The bolts.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. The nuts, the bolts, the screws, the cut glass that are contained within the unit that explodes. So every one of these over this past weekend were done by amateurs. That's why he was caught so quickly and is already in custody.
And because of someone who noticed, there was an alert that was texted out on cell phones, and someone noticed a guy sleeping in the doorway of a bar and called authorities, and that's how he was apprehended. So even if you see something little.
Right. Plus, they found he left behind his mother's cell phone. Once they found his mother's cell phone, they started following the family, and they stopped the family last night on a bridge entering New York City, and that's how they ultimately found him today, because the family gave them clues as to where he might be found back in New Jersey.
But I think what's concerning people is that the next person is not going to be so sloppy and so amateurish, is going to choose a place that
absolutely
is going to cause more damage, yeah, and that we're not going to see him buying all of his stuff at Home Depot, that
right,
they're going to learn from these kind of mistakes. I mean, and so what do we do then?
In 10 seconds, because we have to break here, Jeff. Sorry.
I know you do. Homeland Security Consult.com is my company. If anybody wants to ask questions, you know, feel free to email me through the website. The answer truly is a lone wolf can never be stopped. And we have the best law enforcement in the world, and there still isn't anything we're ever going to be able to do to stop it unless the general public helps.
Jeff, thank you for your information, and can you please hang on a minute? Kevin, why don't you get Jeff's information, and it sounds like we would like to talk to him in greater detail later on.
He's
very interesting.
He's cheered us up greatly.
There's nothing we can do about it. It's going to continue.
Yeah. Have a great day, everybody.
Everybody have fun. Eric, thank you for coming by. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. It's always a great read. Have a great rest of the week.
We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. A quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has coming up on the Wintrust Business.